Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Lara Marie Shane Halls, the host of Sexy Unique Podcast. And before I get into this week's Road to Sur episode, I need to say a few things. Number one, this week's episode is formatted a little bit differently. Originally, I was going to release the audio of the Sup Live show, but there was some sort of problem with the recording of the audio, and only the last 29 minutes of the show ended up surviving. So Carrie and I are recording Kristen's Road to Sur up into the point of the live show, and then it will switch over into live show mode because I wanted you to get a taste. It was literally the most fun night ever, and the show was so amazing that I didn't want to just like lose it and not be able to share it with you. So at some point, you will have the jarring realization that you're no longer listening to a podcast of me and Carrie in my apartment. It's going to be a podcast of Sup Live. So keep an ear out for that. You really can't miss it. And another thing, perhaps the most important thing that I want to say is a huge, huge thank you to all my patrons on Patreon. You guys made it possible for me to do this live show because you make it possible for me to do this podcast every week. I always say this, but it's true. You guys make my dream a reality. And without you, there would be no Sexy Unique Podcast, and there'd be no Babe Podcast, and there'd be no Saving Sex in the City 3. I feel blessed every single day that I get to watch this incredible show and make up these stories about the characters that we love so much. And I love making these episodes for you guys. I love doing the bonus episodes, and I look forward to doing much more for you. So if you have listened to this podcast and loved it and want to become a patron of the Sexy Unique podcast, it's very easy. You just have to go to www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find everything you need to know to become a supporter of SUP. For as little as $1 per episode, you will have access to weekly bonus episodes. You'll have access to all throwback episodes that cover seasons 1 and 2. And not only that, but if you decide to become a patron between now and the end of October, you will get a very special sticker that says Vanderpump Rules is a show for geniuses. So there's really nothing to lose and everything to gain. Again, if you want to learn more, you can go to www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast for more details. And now, without further ado, I bring to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall. Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in.
Come a girl with a friend, you'll be both in. Hi,
everyone.
Hello.
Carrie is having...
I'm having a crisis.
He's in crisis.
I keep seeing... I've mentioned it before, but I keep seeing the bouncer of Tom Tom everywhere I go in WeHo.
What does it mean?
I literally was in an Uber today on Fountain Avenue. Doesn't mean anything if you don't live here, but... And I just happened at this moment to glance out the window for a second, and I saw him walking.
So this is the third time.
He was carrying papers. This is the fourth time.
This is the fourth time you've seen him.
I think I've seen him four times now.
Okay, so he's...
I've seen him at Whole Foods. I've seen him at Chicconi's. I've seen him somewhere else. I think at the gym. And I saw him today.
So
maybe
not.
Maybe it was three times.
Haunting you.
He's haunting me. And it's... I don't want to see him, you know? Like, it's not like... a thing I need to be seeing, like this British boy, but like I just keep seeing this like lad, this bro-y
this
straight,
lad, this bro-y dapper,
straight,
dandy.
Not even dapper. He looked like a dude in like leisure wear today.
Really? Oh, he's always in like a leisure
suit. But he was carrying papers and like in a hurry. But what is that? The moment, like I was on my phone and I wasn't even looking out. Like I just
and then you just look and catch him.
I just saw him.
The
like
universe
a flicker
is
of light.
Trying to tell you something, but I can't for the life of me decipher its message. Other than maybe you need to go back to Tom Tom and get those buffalo cauliflower.
I think we need to go back.
Yeah,
I think it's calling to us.
I've been craving those cauliflower wings.
We should go back.
I like that they're called buffalo cauliflower wings when they are not a buffalo sauce.
No.
It's like a Chinese kind of sauce.
Teriyaki-ish.
Yeah.
But and like tempura something.
It's like a sesame chicken sauce, but on cauliflower. So fucking good.
But the lines have dwindled.
You called it. Oh, yeah.
I was like, it's gonna be like Studio 54, and you were like, no, Carrie.
I was like, honey, everyone has to go. Like, I went five times,
I know.
And then I've never gone back. But well, I will, because you know why.
It's spooky there. It's good spooky. For Halloween.
It's great for Halloween. The passage of time.
But the passage of time is reflected in me seeing this motherfucker all over the city.
I think it's trying to call, like, it's like a siren. He's like a siren. He's like a siren to you trying to call you home to Tom Tom.
Maybe. Or it's like a sign from the universe that everything is chaos and nothing means that. Like, I honestly don't think there's a reason other than just like, I'm in this.
You're in WeHo.
I'm in this like plasma orb of VPR, like from doing this podcast so much with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like in it and I'm just seeing, it's like, you know when you close your eyes and you see like green orbs sometimes? Like if you're looking at the sun or like if it's sunny out, that's what I'm seeing. It's like him. It's little like flickers of my subconscious and he's there.
It's a reminder.
It's a reminder.
He's a gentle spirit to see.
It's not like
it's not like jarring.
No,
like
it's not like House of Haunting Hill.
Yeah.
Or Haunting of Fuck, which is a great show.
Yeah. But like, it's not like seeing like Jax or like...
No, that's heavy and like feels malevolent mm-hmm. when I see Jax in a way. Because one, I'm like, God, he's so hot in person. And like, I feel like an asshole for even thinking he's hot.
Yeah.
He's really hot.
He's so hot. But Kristen posted recently a photo of her, that one of her and Jax.
I was going to send that to you.
That was like, if Stassi gets Katie and Schwartz, I get these two. And I was like,
we're home.
Honey, like, just like really weirds me out. Like, I can't get over them fucking to drive. Like, that's what I think about every time I see her and Jax together. And when I see her and Jax and Brittany together, I feel like maybe they have threesomes.
I think they must, right? Or like, she watches them while smoking a cig and like holding a gun.
She has a ladder and she sneaks up to the window of their apartment like and Clarissa. peers into their wedding lair and then watches them fornicate.
I think it's more like, we're doing this, and they just do it, and she just like sits there and goes like,
she pulls a gun out of her handbag and she
has a gun.
Yeah, Kristen has had a gun forever. She loves firearms.
She loves firing warning shots everywhere she goes.
She's like, pulls a gun out of her bag and she's like, you're fucking now, do it. And then like, Brittany's like, Kristen, and then she goes into this
what ceiling. Did I say? But she just like, she fires warning shots like everywhere.
Yeah,
like, she'll just walk into like CVS and like for no reason she'll just like fire it at the ceiling and everyone will just look at her and she'll be like, you heard me right. You heard me. And then like carry on.
Yeah, and then she leaves.
Yeah, and then
she really prefers Rite Aid.
Yeah, she loves Rite Aid.
She lives for
Rite Aid. I was at Rite Aid today.
I'm surprised you didn't see Kristen.
On La Brea, which is the darkest Rite Aid.
Ooh,
right next to the AT&T store.
No, that's a no for me.
But she's special.
Yeah, I think Jax is probably the person I see the most, which is a terrifying...
And he knows who you are.
And he knows who I am, but there's no acknowledgement. But to take it back to that photo of them, Jax was looking so hot in that pic.
Smoldering.
I was like, what the fuck?
They both look good.
I don't know how they do it.
It's all the product that they're pumping out on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They just use it on themselves, I guess.
And then
maybe it works.
They like... plump it into their face. They're always like injecting. And
Brittany has those like high arch eyebrows now.
She got like an eye lift or something. Yeah.
She has like, they're very, it's very dramatic.
It's like kind of Kardashian. It's like kind of Khloe Kardashian a little bit.
It's a little TBD.
Yeah.
I think
they all love to take it so far.
I know. It almost
they
feels
love
like
to
they're
push
like,
it to the limit.
They push it to the limit and it feels like they're almost like trolling us.
Yeah.
They're like,
they
want to
see if we notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think I will? I'll fucking do it.
I feel like your TomTom bartender sightings is like Alice in Wonderland. And if you were to follow him, he would lead you down the rabbit hole.
Maybe I should just follow him.
I think you should follow him next time.
And then he'll like call the police. He'll be like this like tall gay thing is like
tall gay
stalking
thing.
Me. And I'll be like, no! I'll have
you
like
start
my...
to follow me, turn around, and you go, hey, mama, to you.
Hello, mama.
Hello, mama.
I see you there.
I think he wouldn't even be threatened. He'd just be like, come with me. And then, like, it's like Willy Wonka. I'm going to start to follow you without you knowing. Okay. So then you follow him, and then I can document the whole thing.
We wear silly glasses.
I feel like wear like a Samantha Jones disguise when she like catches Richard cheating.
Yeah. And like
a short pixie cut wig and a trench coat. You're like, who is this trench coat lady following me in LA?
And you lower them.
I'm like, it's not Lara. Go about your business.
Oh, it's not her. Yeah. Follow me with a drone.
Oh, easy.
Wow.
Need to add a drone to the wish list.
Anyone out there? We just need a drone.
You're
in
not
your
limited.
Apartment.
I need a drone in my apartment building so I can just like confront my neighbor who lets her dog shit, where I can just like film her doing it and then create a supercut video set to like a Fiona Apple song and then play it for her and be like, I know that you're still letting your dog shit in the courtyard.
Best
because I caught
can,
it on
baby.
My drone.
Dun, dun,
and it speeds up, and then it slows down in certain parts.
Can you imagine if there was a drone in your apartment right now, and then the background, the listeners would be like, what the fuck is that whirring noise? And it's like, oh, it's our drone.
Oh, we're just capturing this on drone.
It's our pod drone.
Yeah. Should I start filming this podcast via drone?
Yeah, like those like weird Swedish gaming streamers always have like, they're always filming themselves.
On a drone?
On the camp. I mean, potentially.
At me when there's a drone involved.
Have you ever seen that video of the ghost that's like a drone with like a ghost decoration on it?
No.
Like a banshee, like scream ghost. And, it has like pterodactyl arms or something. And it just like is flying around. And it's a drone, actually. That's me.
I need a drone in my life.
We all need a drone.
We need a drone like yesterday.
Martha Stewart has drones.
Does she?
She wrote a Time op-ed, Why I Love My Drone. And it was just
for Time magazine?
It was just her talking about like how she can like see her vast gardens from the sky. And
that seems chill, like a chill thing to do with a drone.
But I always imagine, because Blake is her next door neighbor, I think. Blake Lively.
Yeah.
In Bedford, New York. And I always would love to imagine Blake like peering out of her kitchen window when Martha has the drones up and just going like, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're out again.
Martha's drones are out again.
Martha's droning.
She says to Ryan.
Yeah. He has like a pupusa. Mm-hmm. Baby pupusa.
He's like, again?
Again?
And she's like, yeah.
Let's have another baby.
Should we have another kid? He's like, yeah.
That's all their combos. It's either talking about Martha Stewart's drones or like, should we have another kid?
Yeah. And then she's like, I baked some pumpkin bread. He goes, like, I love fall. She goes, me too. Should we have another kid?
And he's like, yeah.
Definitely.
I'm doing Deadpool 4.
Yeah.
And she's like, cool, I'm doing...
I'm trying my hand at some other genre and, to see if it sticks.
And somehow being a box office draw.
Did you see that movie where Simple she wears Favor? A suit? Yeah.
No, but like all her movies do well.
I need to watch Age of Adeline.
So fucking good.
It is so good. I watched like the first 20 minutes and I think I was really stoned and forgot that I had watched the first 20 minutes.
It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And then I turned on my TV again like a week later and it was just the DVD menu of Age of Adeline. And I was like, wow.
It's a wild movie.
It's
Harrison
wild.
Ford is in that movie. Funny that we're talking about Age of Adeline.
I know. It is actually like serendipitous.
But she invests in Xerox in like the 60s.
No.
And then like she is talking to her accountant when she's like, you know, in the modern times. And she's literally been alive for like 100 years. And he's like, God, your net worth is like $300 million. And she's like, yeah, I just made some smart investments. And she invested in Xerox.
I feel like the only way to invest is if you're going to live forever.
Right.
Because...
why not? What else are you going
to
do?
Yeah, there's nothing else to do and things... inflation has to happen. So if you're ever finding yourself cursed...
that it's just... it's a wild movie because it's like... it's basically like Serena Vanderwoodsen living forever. And it's just... as Blake Lively does in a lot of her movies, just her saying things to people and then running away.
Yeah.
And walking away. Like in Gossip Girl, she would go up to someone and... like she would have done something like actually like deplorable. And she would go up to someone and be like... and I'm really sorry that I did that to you, but you have to think about that now. And then she would walk away and they'd be like, wait, what?
But Blake has always mystified me.
Listen, she has done it.
She's
done it. She has transitioned
it?
From TV to like, she's like an A-list film star now because of The Shallows.
My favorite moment of The Shallows is when they finally cut to like, it's like when Blake first gets out to like her special surf spot. Mm-hmm. And then she like... there's like this huge montage of her just like shredding waves.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally looks like the CGI budget. they were like, okay, we just have to use like a Snapchat filter and like replace Blake's face on this surfer's body.
Surfer check.
Yeah. If you slow it down, it literally is just like a cutout face that kind of tracks onto a body as Blake is surfing. It's so low edge.
I love in that moment when she's like, these guys are like, do you want us to help? You know, we'll show you the ropes. And she's like, I got it from here. And then she like,
and it's like,
in the shallows.
Yeah, and she's just like doing crazy surf moves, which is like a floaty Snapchat face, like trying to keep up with the body.
Did you see I, Tonya?
sounds the same thing.
Crazy.
That's like the cutting edge technology now. It's just Snapchat filters.
That was, I mean, I love that movie so much. And that moment was like, I was like cringing so hard though. Cause I was like, wow, this is so bad. And like, I hope, like, it was, in a way where I was like, I hope no one notices. Cause I wanted it to do well. And I was like, I hope no one sees this.
You like write a press release. And you're like,
I just send it out. Just so you know, that's actually really hard to do, and they did it really well.
They did a really good job. I feel like she turns, like, does her triple axel so fast that the face, like, lags a little bit to the side, and then, like, finally finds itself again.
It's like Contact when Jodie Foster's in the wormhole and her face keeps, like, like, because the time space thing. It was like, I was like, whoa, she's in, like, a Contact wormhole.
I love, like, any director making these choices to just like throw the Snapchat filter on the blonde actress is wild, and I'm here for it. And only like a male director could get away with those kind of shenanigans.
Like a woman would be like, this is
a woman, they'd be like, look at this fucking amateur. Like, a woman would never do
she
that.
She would never even have that instinct.
I'd be then, like, let's just not have her surf. Like, we can just cut to shark stuff and everyone will just know she's a surfer.
But the man is like, no, we gotta see her, like,
we need the action. It's about action.
It's about her surfing. They won't believe her. Why is she out there? She's not actually surfing.
They probably got notes in both of those screenings, like test screenings, where a woman was like, actually, like, when they do the stunt and it, like, the face thing kind of moves, like, it took me out of it.
And then, like, all the men in the audience, like, threw cans at her.
They're
and,
like, classic.
Screamed at her.
Are you on your fucking period?
Oh, you ruined Buzzkill. Boo.
Can you just suspend your disbelief? This is cinema.
Get out of here. And then she, like, walked out of the theater and was like, God, I have, like, a film degree.
Yeah. Glad I went to college for this. Yeah. That's literally my life, is like, glad I went to film school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did.
I did it.
And now you're here.
And I'm here making magic. We needed, okay, so today's Road to Sur deals with the one and only Kristen Doty.
Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure for anyone that's listening, we did this
at a live show.
At a live show.
Which was so fun.
Which was so fun and incredible. But the audio, something happened with the recording, and only the last 29 minutes of that show survived. So here
we are again. Retrace the road to Sir Kristen Doty.
Yeah. And I feel like Kristen kind of did curse us.
Oh.
Like the she was there. Yeah, she was there. The Witches of WeHo.
I was like, honestly, kept shooting my gaze out into the audience because it was so dark in there, but I kept being like,
for Kristen to walk in and fire a warning shot.
Yeah, Kristen just coming in and being like, all right, fuckers, we're gonna tell the story, we're gonna tell it straight.
Yeah,
she'd go up on stage and just hold a gun to my throat and was like, give me your mic, fucker.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay,
Kristen.
But I kept wondering if I would see her in like sunglasses.
Yeah, if she would be in a full-blown disguise
heckling us.
I wish we did have one heckler.
We had a great heckler.
She sent Freckle to heckle on her behalf.
Aunt Freckle. God bless you.
God bless your soul.
God bless that little piece of glory. But
what's crazy about Kristen...
Crazy.
And what we uncovered doing our research about her...
Well, not much was known. Like, we had
many cast members have a Wikipedia, and then you get to Kristen Doty, and there's nothing.
So she was born in Dearborn, Michigan in
82, but that's not true.
But that's the only thing that we saw, and then we did a deeper dive, and we realized that she was actually born in 1931
in the Dust Bowl, yeah,
in like Missouri or Illinois, Southern Illinois, yeah.
And she, you know, if you've ever read Grapes of Wrath, you know, like what it was like.
Yeah,
it was really dusty. Pretty dry.
Steinbeck, like...
Yeah. Everyone's sinuses were just, like, dry as a bone.
Everyone just looked ashen and, like...
The Great Depression was, like, in full swing.
Yeah, fully...
The New Deal had not been made yet.
The New Deal was no deal.
Yeah, there was no deal.
The no deal. And Kristen shared a bed with, like...
Her 11 brothers. She was the youngest in a family of 12.
11 boys and her.
11 boys and then Kristen Doty.
So, like, you have to imagine, like, her parents at that point, by the time she was born, and she was a woman, and back then, like, unfortunately, like...
They meant, like, a little bit less than they do now.
Yeah.
Like, and they couldn't vote. Could they vote yet?
I think they could vote. I think it was, like, 1919 or something.
Cool. Well, they could vote. Yeah. But then they couldn't do really anything else.
No, they just kind of had to, like, you know, pick up a little... If you were living in where she lived, like, if you were a woman, you just had to, like...
Deal.
Walk around the farm and, like, hang clothes.
Yeah. And the farm that they were living on, like, wasn't working anymore because of this, like, Dust Bowl realness.
It was, like, apocalyptic.
Yeah,
like,
they had one tree.
One tree that was, like, kind of working.
Yeah, and it would, like, give, like, apples every once in a while. Or, like, peaches.
It would, like, fart out an apple.
Yeah, it was, like, they were, like, what is this tree? Is it two trees? Is it apples or peaches? Yeah. And they were, like, I don't know, but go take them to the road and try and sell them.
So, by the time their farm had sort of collapsed, they realized, like, we're not going to be selling in bulk, so we have to, like, do what we can. And, like, while the father and the older sons were trying to, like, you know, salvage what they had, the younger siblings and the mom would go, they'd set up, like, a fruit stand on the highway nearby, and mm-hmm. they would sell fruit for, like, a nickel.
Yeah.
At a pop.
And, like, Kristen's original mom and dad basically had, like, a long discussion over candlelight one night after they'd put all the 12 children to sleep. And they were like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to survive?
Yeah.
So like, everything's covered in dust. Our weird tree is, like, slowly not working anymore.
Our kids, none of them can go to school.
None of them can go to school. And, like, we have so many mouths to feed. Like, we have to figure something out.
So they're like, naturally, they're like, well, we'll just get rid of Kristen.
Yeah.
She's not pulling her weight.
We'll sell her.
We'll sell her to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, it was, they were compassionate.
They were compassionate. Like, they were like, we don't want to be total monsters. Like, we will be selling her, but we're not going to sell her to, like, some creepy old man.
No.
Or, like, even a man. Like, we want her to, like, have some sort of upbringing. We just don't want to have to, like, deal with
her. No, because it's just too much work.
And we want the money. Yeah.
That was...
we really want the money, but we love our boys so much, we can't imagine any of them, like, giving one of them up.
And it's going to be really hard for them.
Yeah. So, Kristen's got to go.
So they, like, put some feelers out, and they got some, like, a lot of the bites they got were creepy neighbors and, yeah. like, you know, and they were like, you know, and Kristen was kind of like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, she got wind of it, and, like, she was just like, what the fuck? And they were like, we got to do what we got to do. And she was like, fuck you.
She started smoking.
Yeah, she was five.
She started smoking at the age of five because she got so...
She was over it.
Stressed.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm going
to
be
what's
sold.
What's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
Like, my parents are literally trying to sell me.
Fuckers.
And, like, she would hear her mom... Sometimes she'd wake up in the night and, like, hear her mom crying about it. And she would think that she was crying about, like, selling her. But she was crying about the fact that they hadn't found a buyer. And then the dad would be like, don't worry. Someone will take Kristen.
Yeah.
Like, I promise you. They will.
So Kristen, like, she kind of had, like, flashes of an escape plan. Like, I'm gonna run away myself, but it never
materialized because it was, like, so fucking dusty and gross. Yeah. Like, there's, like, nowhere to go. And then Kristen was just like, whatever, like, fuck these people, I'm over them, and, like, kind of consigned to herself. She was like, I guess, like, I am gonna be sold.
Yeah. And she, you know, Kristen had no concept that, like, she thought, like, the earth, like, after Illinois, the earth just fell off. And mm-hmm. she didn't know that there was a whole other...
She was uneducated, and her family, they still believed... They were, like, flat earthers.
Oh, yeah. They were, like, really religious.
They were really religious and never subscribed to, like, the earth is round.
No.
And they thought, like, the Dust Bowl was happening because they were being punished by God.
Yeah. So they were like, Kristen can be, like, an offering.
Yeah. And so it really, to them and her family, it made a lot of sense.
As Abraham tried to sacrifice...
Isaac. Yeah.
So, you know, it's biblical. So anyway, they were on the road one day, and, like, a few months had gone by since they initially hatched their plan to sell her. But, like, again, nothing really came to, you know, fruition from mm-hmm. that. And that same day, it was, like, a dusty afternoon. It was, like, really hot. It was
hot,
just, like,
hazy, kind of yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick.
That kind
looking.
Of sepia, like, mm-hmm. yellowy color.
It was
dust
in sepia.
Yeah.
Everything was in sepia.
Everything
day.
Was. And
they heard like some kind of like honky tonk. Exactly. Car thing.
They were like, what the fuck is
one
that?
One of those horns that just goes on and on and on.
And like cans.
Yeah. And out of this dust cloud, this like crazy car with like a covered wagon.
And like
extension built on top of it.
With like bags and bags and curtains and like bangles just piled up on top of it. Like, you know, the magic school bus.
Yeah. And it was a traveling family. And they like clanked up to the Kristen and her mom.
It took like an hour for them to get there.
Yeah, they heard the thing, and it because like it was a car, but it's also 1936, so the cars travel at like 5 miles an hour. So you hear it an hour before you actually like interface with it.
So yeah.
So this woman, the car stops finally, and this woman gets out. And she's like older.
Haggard.
And she stops. She takes one of the peaches and takes a big old messy bite of it. And all the juice just like kind of slides down her face and
really
off her neck.
Sick.
It was really gross. Even Kristen was like, ugh.
And they're like, are you going to pay for that? And she's like, I got like some rocks and a pin.
She's like, I have this crystal, which was really just like a rock that had like one sparkle in it. And then, yeah, some like international currency.
She's like, it's actually worth a lot. You just don't know because you've never left Illinois. And we're like, all right, well.
And then the woman said, Kristen's family would also make her wear like a for sale sign around her neck whenever they were like on the side of the road. So this woman, what was her name?
Loretta
took notice of young Kristen Doty chaining cigs for sale,
hawking up a loogie.
And
she saw this young, you know, kind of rosy-cheeked girl who was chain smoking, and she was like,
who's chain smoking but surly, because when Loretta was like, I don't know if I can pay for it, Kristen was like, you better fucking pay. And then like, spit on her feet. And it was like, suck a dick. And Loretta was like,
love her.
Love, who is this?
Yeah, what is happening here?
I need this.
Is like, I need to be all up in this.
This is amazing.
And the mom was like, well, obviously, like, so happens that she is actually for sale. And she's like, oh, well.
How much do you want?
And they were like, $5.
Yeah. Which was like a lot.
And she's like, well, obviously, again, I don't have anything.
I don't have like currency per se. But I can give you a promise and tell you that, like, she's like, I'll give you what is in my pocket, which was like a paper clip and three coins.
And like a Spanish dollar.
And then she said, it seems to me that I can give you a blessing for good luck and prosperity.
On your farm. Like, look back, there's like crows. And
yeah.
Like,
there was like a vulture.
Yeah.
Circling.
Turkey vulture is like above it.
And, like, and yeah, Loretta was like, I'll buy your daughter for a prosperity blessing and this like, lint in my pocket.
And they were like, that sounds good. And
sounds
Kristen
great.
Was like, are you fucking kidding me? Not even like Kristen's negotiating. Like,
classic
mom.
Yeah.
And the mom was like, do it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. And so Kristen just like rolled her eyes and like hopped in Loretta's car in the front seat. And then Loretta said, like, I put a blessing on the Doty farm.
And they were like, thank you so much. And Kristen was like, her mom went up to her and she's like, honey, like, just don't hate me, like, this is
mad.
Good, this is good for all of us. And she's like, and you know what, have fun with it.
Yeah, just try and have fun,
like, do that, like, make it your thing.
Yeah, attitude's everything.
And like, I know in some way this is gonna benefit you. You're gonna go places,
you just don't know how yet or where yet.
And I don't know either, but I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
And
so
Kristen was like, go suck a dick, bitch.
Yeah, suck
didn't
a
even
dick.
Turned her face, didn't never look back.
Yeah. And so Loretta hopped in the car and like fired it up.
There's like 12 people in the
car. Yeah. There was like, car. Kristen just went from one huge family to another huge family. But at least Loretta seemed like tickled by Kristen.
Yeah, she was very tickled.
Yeah. And she like, Loretta like lit a match and lit a Kristen's cigarette. And then was like, shall we? And Kristen was like, fuck yeah. the car started slowly driving away. And Kristen.
Bye.
Yeah, her mom was like, bye, honey. Have so much fun.
Have so much fun.
And her brothers didn't care.
No, they were like, who is she?
Kristen took like a long drag of the cigarette and then just like flicked it out the car window. And it lit the farm on fire.
Holy shit.
And
it burned down.
It burned down and killed her entire family. And her mom, dad, and 11 brothers all died in a blaze.
And Kristen like looked back for a moment. Her jaw was dropped. And then she looked up at Loretta and they went, hey, bitch. And they just like slapped just, like, hands. High-fived. And they were like, yeah. And Kristen was like, all right.
Yeah. And Loretta like laughed and she revealed to Kristen. She was like, some blessing that was. Huh? And Kristen laughed for the first time in her entire life.
It was she had never knew laughter.
No.
Because it was so depressing there.
Yeah,
and like,
it was awful.
The no deal. And she was like, what is this thing? And she's like, honey, it's laughter.
It's laughter.
That's what we do. We laugh at life. Yeah. That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen just laughed and laughed. And then they like drove away into the, receded into the distance.
Yeah.
So they were a small dot.
And so what Loretta and her family were actually doing is that they traveled with a traveling circus.
Mm, a carnival.
A carnival.
Which
and
were
so
plentiful back then.
Yeah. They would go from just one carnival to the next, either like kind of working as like carnies, like operating booths, and then always kind of looking for a new gig. And Loretta, like Kristen lived with them, and she, you know, they just kind of gave her like random chores to do.
She picked up popcorn
kernels off the floor. She like swept some stuff, but she was like malnourished,
yeah,
and like tiny, so they didn't feel like giving her like important jobs.
But like she was kind of like the Shirley Temple of the carnival.
Yeah.
Like everyone just loved her. And like,
everyone loved her and was very like loving and doting on her. But she didn't necessarily have like a role per se.
No.
Until Loretta started to realize that Kristen had a psychic ability.
Well, Kristen would like tell her, she'd be like, Loretta, I had a dream last night about like, you know, some country invading Poland.
Yeah.
Taking over Poland.
Yeah.
Germany or what's Germany?
She's like, there are trains and like people. It was awful. And Loretta's like, oh my God. She's like, you need to stop smoking those cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Kristen would be like, no, like it's a horrible nightmare.
And then Germany declared war on like the world.
Yeah. And, like, and then the Holocaust happened.
And not the rise of Hitler. And like Kristen like predicted it.
Yeah.
And Loretta was like, that's funny. But she wasn't convinced yet. And then Kristen was like, Loretta, I had a dream about like this place and there's ocean and sun and palm trees and then fire and bombs falling from the sky and big ships sinking.
And like thousands and thousands,
thousands
of people dying. And then Pearl Harbor happened the next day and Loretta put it together. She was like, holy fucking shit, this
I
child.
I can make so much money off her.
Yeah. We are going to be rich.
So she like Judy Garland her. And yeah. Like they like, she got the owner of the carnival at this one stop to like set up a booth for her in the back. And they're like, this girl's legit. She predicted Pearl Harbor, World War II.
Set up a little psychic tent for her. Like all we need is a table. Loretta found a crystal ball somewhere in her van and like put it on the table. And then she would just feed Kristen like speed and be like, now work. Like, use your abilities and tell the people what you see.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Like,
and
people would come back and like she started kind of generating buzz, like, oh, the psychic little girl.
Mm-hmm. Go to the back.
The Shirley Temple, psychic Shirley Temple, everyone called her.
Yeah.
And she would like actually give people like really sound
advice
readings.
And readings.
She was also like on methamphetamine.
She was on amphetamine. She was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day and like just channeling people's energy into visions
and not sleeping
and never sleeping.
No.
And like whenever she wasn't like working, she would be cleaning.
She'd be,
because it was the only way she knew
cleaning.
How to like kind of get the energy out of her system.
She would do laundry. She would wash, you know, in those old laundry things with like the you know,
mm-hmm,
the spiny,
thing, yeah.
Yeah, the cheese grater washing thing. She'd
yeah.
be like, ah. You know.
Always with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It sounded like that.
Yeah.
And so she would
and
just,
eat, she all the only thing she would eat was funnel cakes.
Mm-hmm, she loves funnel cake. Mm-hmm. To this day, Kristen has never turned down a funnel
Confection
cake.
Confection of sugar.
Yeah. She loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kristen worked and worked and worked, and you know, her psychic abilities, like, they discovered them when she was what, like 10 or 11? Mm-hmm. And finally, like, by the time she turned 18, she'd had enough.
Yeah.
But she also, like, was uneducated.
She was uneducated. She was being...
She was being forced...
like, crack, basically.
Yeah. Like, things... At first, it was like, she kind of thought, like, oh, Loretta loves me, and, like, tried to call her mom once, and Loretta slapped her and was like, never call me mom again. Do I look like your mom?
I'm your manager.
I'm your manager. There's Get back difference. Out to your
Get
tent.
Get back out there.
There's a line of people waiting for you.
Yeah.
And Kristen was like, ugh.
And she was just emotionally and spiritually taxed. Like, she was, like, literally taking in people's, like, futures, their past, their futures, their presents.
Like, all she'd have to do is, like, touch someone, and like, she'd see everything. Yeah. And... that takes its toll on you after a while, especially when you add like meth to the mix.
It's hard to be a medium who's on meth.
Yeah. So Kristen had heard like mumblings of other people that worked at these carnivals over the years that was like, bet you can't wait till you turn 18, huh, little Missy?
And everyone talked like that.
Yeah.
Bet you can't wait till you turn 18, huh?
Little Missy. And then she'd be like, what? And then someone explained to her, like, one of the carnies was like, when you turn 18, like, you're free. You can do whatever. You're legal. And, like, you get to leave or do whatever you want. And
Kristen was like, what the fuck is that?
And then she marched into Loretta's tent. She was also feeding... Loretta and all the rest of, like, the family had stopped working, and they were just depending on Kristen's psychic abilities. They were living well. Like, their tent, they had upgraded to, like, a much nicer car.
It was like a Burning Man yurt.
Yeah, and they had, like, a beautiful tent set up. Loretta, like, had tons of jewelry and amazing clothes. And Kristen was like, guess what? I'm 18, you bitch.
And I'm leaving.
And I'm leaving.
But Loretta was like, no, you're not. Because Kristen never knew really how old she was.
No, she didn't know, like, how to even count, really. She just knew, like, 18 meant freedom.
But Loretta, like, totally gaslit her and was like, you're 12.
Yeah.
And Kristen was like, oh.
And Loretta was like, get back to work.
But then Kristen was, she went back to work, but she was a little suspect. She's like, I don't feel 12.
Yeah. She did a lot of, like, math and kind of, and then talked to some other women around and, like, she finally did realize that she was 18. So she did then went back to Loretta and was like, I'm 18 and I'm leaving.
And you're, you know, your party's about to be over. You're plush.
Enjoy it. Enjoy this yurt. Everything that I've given you through all my hard work. What do I have to show for it? Literally nothing.
Nothing. I look like I'm 50.
Yeah. And Loretta was like, you really think you're going to leave me?
And Kristen's like, yeah, I'm about to leave right now.
Kristen had like a bat. She had a stick. Yeah. She had one of those sticks with like a little satchel tied to it.
And a pot on her head.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm out of here.
I'm hitting the town.
She didn't even have shoes.
No.
But she didn't care. It wasn't going to stop her. She like wanted out.
She had like a dress and like a little hat.
Yeah. Her little tin hat.
Her little tin hat.
And she came to Loretta. And then Loretta, you know... Loretta was pissed.
Yeah, she had a really good setup.
Yeah, her cash cow was about to leave the pasture. So Loretta called her grandmother out of her tent.
Sylvia.
And Sylvia came.
Sylvia was like this old, like, literally, like, mummy who was barely alive. Like, she... Like, you had to, like, really lean in to hear her, like, kind of breathing to know that she was alive, but she looked like a fossil.
Yeah.
And she, like, wheeled her out, and this woman had... Loretta had no real psychic ability, but this woman had legit old, ancient ability.
They would strap this woman to, like, the back. Like, she would just be strapped to the back of their car whenever they'd travel, and she'd just be covered in dust. She kind of... It was like, is this a sarcophagus, or is this, like, a human?
Is this a human?
But it was actually a human.
Yeah.
With, like, crazy magical powers.
Yeah.
And Loretta told Sylvia what Kristen was planning on doing, and Sylvia just started mumbling.
Side note, Sylvia was... Loretta used her mom too, the way she... That's why she looked so haggard. Like, she was... I mean, she was old as fuck, but, like, she looked like shit because Sylvia had also... Or Loretta had been pumping her full of drugs and, like, cigarettes. So, like, that was Kristen's future.
Yeah. She was like, Sylvia's going to go someday, and this is my new Sylvia.
Yeah.
Is this little Kristen that girl that I picked up on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, Sylvia had been like on her deathbed for probably 10 years.
Yeah.
But just like by the grace of God.
And meth.
Yeah. And meth had been like kept barely alive.
Yeah.
Long enough to where Loretta knew she could just like trade one out for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the plan was to curse Kristen and keep her around. And so she just tried to like make the curse happen faster. She wheeled Sylvia out and Sylvia started mumbling all this like kind of ancient text,
mm-hmm.
and basically put a curse on Kristen that she would live forever.
She Age of Adeline'd her.
Yeah, she Age of Adeline'd her and made her immortal.
She would always be the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she would say when you get to the age of 27,
you'll stay 27 forever.
Yeah.
You'll stay whatever age you feel you've peaked at.
And Kristen was like, that sounds great.
Cool. Anyways.
Sucks for you that you just wasted that on me because I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
And if you think I'm staying here, you can suck a dick.
Suck a dick. And Loretta was like, Loretta knew how much of a hell this curse would actually be.
Yeah. And Loretta was like, just cackled. And she was like, you'll be back. They all come back.
And so Kristen took her little, like, her little stick bag.
Kristen rolled her eyes. She, like, grabbed a cig out of her little stick satchel and then, like, lit it and started walking away slowly but surely, barefoot, with no real plan of, like, where to even go.
Yeah.
But in that moment, like, she finished her cigarette and flicked it off, and it lit Loretta's tent on fire.
They all died.
Even sarcophagus lady.
Oh, Sylvia was dead in a second.
Sylvia was dead. The first one. She went up like like a pile of dead leaves.
Yes. She basically was.
Yeah, she basically was the human equivalent.
But the entire carnival went up in flames.
Yeah, and it was like the Great Circus Carnival fire of 1947.
Look it up.
It was
devastating,
gruesome.
But Kristen like was like, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hitched a ride in a wagon. And
Kristen goes, rock and roll.
Hitched a ride in a wagon and headed west.
Yeah. And Kristen, she didn't know what to do.
No.
World War II had like come to an end. And the one place that it was like easiest for her to get a job was at just like a veterans hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so she worked as a nurse at this like hospital for war.
Not even really a nurse, she cleaned.
Entertainer.
She cleaned like shit. And,
yeah.
Like, helped like.
I mean,
there were so many like PTSD soldiers and like catatonic
so many
people
coming home with no arms and like no legs and brain damage.
She was like a nurse's assistant.
Yeah. Because you have to remember, she was uneducated. Like, all she could do was menial labor or like predict the future.
So that doesn't really.
That you don't have a lot of
lead
options.
Lead to a fruitful resume.
No. So they were like, okay, this girl can like, she seems like spunky enough and has like a fighter spirit.
She's got good arms.
Yeah, she's got good arms. She can clean these bedpans and like, she'll just like clean up around here.
Yeah.
So she worked at this hospital and then eventually like she kind of fell into performing.
Well, it's funny that you say that because one night it was like, there was like a raucous thunderstorm happening and the power went out. So they gathered all the patients were like getting kind of like scared and rowdy because they were kind of like in a psych ward.
Yeah.
And they were like really spooked and like
every
unsettled.
Time the thunder went off, it was like they thought it was a bomb.
Yeah,
and it was
so
just like pandemonium.
All of them were having like severe PTS. And so they gathered them all in one room and they were like, all the nurses and the doctors were fighting them. And like, it was like a struggle. And Kristen,
they thought they were going to riot and like take over the hospital, kill all the staff because it was like these crazy, like war victim guys.
Shell shocked, you know, poor souls just having a freak out.
Yeah.
And Kristen, she, you know, in the midst of all the chaos, she suddenly was like, I used to perform. I was like performing for my whole life, like as a psychic. Like it was a show. Like, I mean, it was real, but It was a full-on, like, smoke and mirrors thing.
She was like, I can engage people. Like,
I can engage people.
I can calm them down. Like, I can do it. And she told all the, they're holding the doors, like, all the staff there, like, holding the doors, trying to hold these people back. And Kristen's like, just let me in there. Just let me try. I have an idea. I have a crazy idea, but I think it'll work.
And they're like, all right.
They're whatever. Like, Kristen, no. And she was like, just let me fucking do it. And so they were like, fine, you know what? Just go.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Good luck, lady.
Good luck, girl.
And they let Kristen go into this room with all these like veterans.
Crazy decision.
And she grabbed, one of them had like a sock full of quarters. Kristen grabbed it out of his hand.
She started swinging it.
She started swinging it around. And then just singing a song.
Well, she grabbed that and she grabbed a giant pitcher of coffee.
Yeah.
And she said, who wants some coffee, everyone? And they all kind of like looked at the rabble rousing stopped and they all stared at her for a second. She's like, who wants some coffee, coffee? I'm Kristen the coffee girl. I love coffee, coffee, and pennies in a sock, pennies in a sock, Kristen, Kristen. And then she like realized, and then she saw a piano.
Yeah, she saw a piano in the corner, and she just kind of did this jig over to it and started playing the piano with one hand, singing. Like one foot in the air.
Playing the percussion on the top of the piano, and she's like, I'm Kristen the coffee girl. Dun, 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 dun. And it became like, it was like, in Beauty and the Beast, when they're all like, be our guest, be our guest. And then all the patients kind of started like getting into it, and it soothed them.
It soothed them. Like, weirdly, the like clanging of like Kristen's coffee tin mixed with like crazy piano music and a sock full of pennies like wagging around was like just what they needed to kind of like pull them back down to reality.
They all started singing like in beautiful voices. She's Kristen the coffee girl. Come to sing us about coffee and pennies in a sock. Pennies in a sock. Sock, sock, sock. Pennies in a sock. And so it was like a huge triumph for her.
Yeah, and she would pour them coffee, and then they'd all stay up, and like it was kind of like when
she was also still doing like a lot of speed.
Yeah, she was that never stopped.
That never stopped.
Like never 1 second stopped.
Yeah,
like she's been addicted to amphetamines for 97 years, and like. Poured all the like soldiers, which is like when you give like ADHD kids like Adderall, it calms them down. The coffee in the soldiers was the same thing. And Kristen would put little sprinkles of like her amphetamines in the coffee and it would like calm everyone down. And they would sing the coffee song.
Yeah.
And she kind of became known in like this like post World War II community.
Kristen the coffee girl.
Kristen the coffee girl.
And the staff kind of again, like Loretta, like didn't give her like extra pay or anything, but they relied on her to keep order.
To keep order,
it happened
yeah.
a lot. Like they got worked up a lot, the patients. So they would every time they would Kristen the coffee girl, and they would call her in, and she would do her little dance and her little jig and her pennies, and she would calm them down.
Yeah,
and
she was like in Mary Poppins, like when he's like the one man band, and she would
play the chimney sweep.
Yeah, like the chimney sweep. She'd play all these different instruments, and it was like so insane. And
she'd be like gritting her teeth.
Yeah, gritting her teeth and smoking a cigarette. It was like really like for any one of us that were watching, it would actually drive us to a mental institution.
5150.
Yeah, it would 5150 like immediately. Like the staff wouldn't watch it because they were like, it would make them feel weird inside. But for these like PTSD veteran guys, they fucking loved it.
They loved it.
It soothed them and like made them feel okay about the world.
So Kristen was like, wow, I found my purpose. But like, you know, the staff still didn't really respect her. They kind of used her. Like everyone has been using Kristen. And so
her entire life,
she did that for a while. She actually went to like a few other hospitals and she did like a little like USO tour.
Yeah.
A local USO tour.
Yeah. They very localized,
like within a few miles, but she made a little and they paid her a little extra finally. And she started making a little like, you know, name for herself, but you know, late 40s, you know, America was sort of like, all right, we're getting back into the swing of things. We have like this new glorious America, like, you know, people.
The post-war optimism was high. The economy was in a much better place.
Yeah. So they didn't really need as many staff, so they started cutting a lot. And Kristen got laid off.
Kristen did. Yeah, they were like, sorry.
Kristen, like, but she's like, but I'm the coffee girl. And they were like,
She's like, what about the vets?
What about the vets? They love me. And they're like, they don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And they're all, a lot of them are fine now.
They're like, you know what? We actually gave Jimmy a sock full of quarters and he like banged on a tin and it did the same thing. So we realized, like, it took them a long time to realize that anyone could kind of do the coffee like banging.
Yeah.
And they just would love it no matter what. And so then they were like, oh, we don't need to pay. We don't, like, what's the point of, like, perpetuating this, like, famous coffee girl thing? Cause she's just going to cost us more money.
Yeah.
So we'll cut her. We'll give it to, like, some guy. And, like, he can bang on a tin and everyone will shut up.
Yeah.
So,
and that made, that was a blow to Kristen.
She hated that.
It was like, you're not special.
It was her first, yeah, her first kind of brush with that attitude and mentality.
And in that moment, she heard Loretta's, ha, 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 ha. But she was like, did I hear that or was it just me? Like, it was, Loretta was sort of like a...
laughing from the afterlife at Kristen's misfortune.
So Kristen was like, fuck, like, you know,
what
she's
am I gonna
homeless.
Do yeah.
She's like, I don't...
homeless, still uneducated.
I spent all my money on coffee and, like, props.
Yeah. And I'm addicted to... I'm addicted to amphetamines. And, like, what do I even love in this world? Like, what am I good at? And she realized, I'm a performer. Like, I am an entertainer
I'm an entertainer.
Heart.
Crowds love me. She's like, I'm, you know, fuck them. They don't know what they're talking about. Like, not everyone could have done it the way I did it.
No.
So she's like,
where can I go that's like the one place that will appreciate my talents and then make me famous?
Los Angeles.
Duh.
Hollywood, baby.
Hollywood.
Silver screens.
And it was like right at the boom of the 50s.
Like golden.
Golden age of Hollywood. Yeah. And so Kristen just like hightailed it out to the West Coast.
She hitchhiked her way down to Los Angeles and like, you know, set up shop.
Yeah. And she got like a little teeny studio apartment that was, couldn't be more than 350 square feet.
On Vine.
With like a hot plate. Yeah.
With a hot plate and a...
hot plate in a dream. She
came. That's what she used to tell people. Yeah. I've got a hot plate and a big dream in my hands. And what you do know, you have for yourself? That's
you know
all you need.
What Kristen has been trying to do since 1950 is be an actress.
Yeah.
Like, she literally has been auditioning and, like, trying her hand at this profession.
For 70 years.
For 70 years. And...
which goes to show you, if you're looking to break into it,
I hope you have a lot of time.
Hope you have a lot of time.
And you never give up. Because maybe you'll get on a reality show about how fucked up you are. And then you'll finally make it.
But anyway, so she like...
so Kristen, you know, she did the whole rigmarole of like young, hopeful Hollywood starlet.
Ingenue.
Got tons of headshots and... you know, she started booking like a lot of background work through like a major studio who I won't name for like legal reasons.
Yeah.
But she would go to this lot every day to do her background work as like a just like extra.
And she would like she was like, I gotta, you know, I gotta act. Like, mm-hmm. Even if I'm in the background, I've gotta be acting. We all gotta be acting. She was
a hard worker. And
they were all like, fuck you. Like,
yeah. She'd want to give it her all.
Yeah.
But like...
I want to get that SAG card. So she like... she would do her like... she would do things to stand out. Like, mm-hmm. She would do her like weird body contortions and like bend herself and like do little jigs.
Do like lots of like crazy facial expressions.
She would react. She did a lot of reactions.
So many reactions. When she was just supposed to be like...
literally.
Literally like one of a thousand people.
She would literally like... her acting is very reaction based.
Yeah.
She would be like... oh! You hear that? What? Oh, and like literally they would always go cut.
Yeah.
Hey, girl in the back, can you stop whatever you're doing?
Please.
It's picking up on camera. It's distracting. Kristen was like, but I'm acting, sir. And they're like,
they like invented. And also because she was like on so many amphetamines, like her jaw would always be like gnawing. And they called her, that's where like the term chewing the scenery came from, because it came from Kristen in the 1950s.
She literally would like chew on sets.
Yeah.
She'd chew on something.
She'd like start chain smoking or like bursting into like a monologue,
yeah.
Or just like reacting like with crazy facial expressions. And they were like, well, someone get this beast off my set. And like, but weirdly, she kept getting work.
Yeah.
It was like strange.
Well, because
they always
needed a body.
They needed bodies. Yeah. And they were like, we can shoot away from her. Sometimes they'd just be like turn her back to the camera.
You would see her from behind.
Kind of waving her arms.
Having conversations with, like, the wall.
Yeah. Like, if you watch Cleopatra, there's one scene where you just, like, look closely, and there's, like, crazy, like, cracked out Kristen in the background.
But so, eventually, she got kind of found out, so they kind of axed her. Well, she became, like, a liability.
She was a liability, but she was, like, weirdly, like, Hollywood loves a character, you know what I mean? So it's, like, she'd get passed around from set to set, and, like... One day, the head of the studio was on a set.
His name was...
Notice her.
Burp, burp.
Yeah.
We can't say his name.
We can't say
his
name.
That was me censoring.
Yeah, you'll never know his name unless you really decide that you're going to research it on your own time. But, like, I'm not looking to get this podcast shut down. No. So, you're keeping it under wraps.
So, blank blank came to set one day, and he had a big... He had, like, a 10-foot cigar.
Yeah.
He hit... People were getting hit in the head with the cigar. Get out of my way!
Yeah, get out of my way! And he saw out of the corner of his eye this, like, beautiful psycho kind of, like, doing her, like, weird Jabberwocky contortion in the corner. And he was like, who's that over there?
And they're like, oh, that's...
That's Kristen. That's Kristen Doty. Doty, huh? What kind of name is that? They were like, we don't know.
We,
like,
don't know. She's really distracting.
Really distracting. But, like, we've been trying to get her out of here for a long time. She just keeps getting passed around from set to set. Like, she kind of, like, has... She had so many different headshots with so many different facial expressions. They would think that they had, like... They think that they were casting someone else, but then it would really just be Kristen Doty again. Yeah. And, like, he was like, huh, she's engaging and has a nice face, has a great body, perky tits. Tell her to come see me in my office later. And so...
Tell her to come see... Hold on, Lexapro.
Sponsored by Lexapro. This podcast is brought to you by Lexapro. And Pristique.
And Pristique.
Check them out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So anyway, he was like, tell her to come see me sometime.
Yeah. They're like, cool. And so one of the set guys, like, when a lighting guy, he was like, hey, me wants to see you in his office today. And Kristen, her eyes lit up.
She knew all about him. She had him all studied. She knew every head of the studio. Like, she knew everything. So yeah. She was like, oh, he's a big deal, that one. And they were like, yeah, he wants to see you for some reason. Yeah. So,
and, like, they kind of, like, they goaded her a little. They were like, well, he knows a star when he sees one.
Yeah.
And clearly he sees something in you. And, like, she was like, oh my God, you don't say. And so she got all gussied up and went into his office. And
she had, like, 1,000 headshots with her.
Yeah. And he sat her down and gave her the old starlet talking to.
Which was back then.
It was like,
come on and fuck me.
It was like, you better fuck me if you want to get anywhere. There's one price to pay, and that's pussy I'll take. You'll go far, but you have to lay down first. And, like, Kristen knew the drill. This is Hollywood.
It's
this Hollywood. Is Hollywood.
It's the biz.
This is a classic casting couch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Kristen, she did what she had to do because this guy promised her that he would groom her and make her into, like, the next hot thing. And he took a look at all her headshots and stuff. And he said, Kristen Doty, huh? Doty is no name for a star. You're going to be
Olivia Bartholomew.
I love that name.
I love that name. That sounds like a real ring to it. Don't you think? And Kristen's like, yeah, totally.
I was like, whatever you think.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, like, I'll
totally
literally, like, do anything. Like, I don't care. I'll do the light. And so she just, like, chain smoked cigs, and he, like, changed her whole, like, brand, essentially. He was like, Olivia Bartholomew, she's gonna be a star. Have you ever heard of her? No, well, times are changing. She's
he would, like, do, like, Morse code.
Yeah, he sent out, he's had the studio publicist, like, create a press release. Like, some people took photos of Kristen, like, on the street and put her in the magazines.
Yeah.
And, like,
it was like the Melrose equivalent of, like, being against, like, a pink wall.
Yeah. And thing was like, Olivia Bartholomew spotted shopping on Melrose Avenue. Isn't
she
gorgeous?
Of Kristen with her mouth wide open and her face, like, just her body, just, and she's like, she, like, looks like a scarecrow. But it's like, but everyone,
it was like, gorgeous Kristen, it was like, gorgeous Olivia Bartholomew goes for a stroll down Melrose. She's like, Like,
gorgeous Olivia, see spotted swimming at the Santa Monica Beach. And it's like a picture of her, like, like
she was like just
drowning in the water.
On so much speed. Like, she just didn't know how to work her body and work her angles. And she was really beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Stunning IRL, but like in pictures, like, it just wasn't translating.
And like, and people reading the tabloids were all like, oh.
Oh my God. But they,
what's wrong with her?
What's wrong with Olivia?
I'm just seeing like a flat, you know, like old, like spinning newspapers showing up.
With her being like, like swimming in like an old 50s bathing suit.
With a cap on.
With like fully, or just like chaining. And this guy, this like the studio head would call Kristen into his office and be like, kid, we need to work on you. He's like, look at this. You're always looking like a scarecrow. He's like,
my high, that's how crows around. You don't need to be scaring him. And she was like,
he's like, please calm down with the cigarettes. Please. We just want to get one shot of you. Also, suck my dick. And then so he kept telling her, like, you're really not. He's like, he gave her my. Carrie just took a drink of his closed Perrier, Olivia Bartholomew style. All the studio, all this executive like,
do. It's not working with this girl. She's scaring
she's
people.
She's scaring people.
People are scared of her.
Like 50s housewives would like open up their like glossies and like their daughter would catch a picture of like Olivia Bartholomew's like ring face and like they'd start weeping. And it was like, he was like, we gotta get you modeling lessons, kid. But first, blow me. And like, and so
he tried to like My Fair Lady her, and it just did not work.
It just like wasn't working. And she did like kind of pick up some, she picked up some skills with like the modeling lessons and stuff, but it was like, you know, she, things got, it got really old after a while. Like people just telling her,
it's a lot of money.
You're scary. It's a lot of money. He kept this guy kept promising her parts that never came to fruition. And then she also was like sleeping with him.
Yeah.
And it was just like fucking humiliating.
But eventually the studios were like, hey, I don't know if this Olivia thing's going to work. Like we've got a whole like Rolodex of girls. Like,
yeah.
I think we might have to like gently push her out to sea.
And he said, she finally, Kristen like stormed into his office one day and she was like, you know, where's my fucking leading role? You promised me every day you'd sit here and
where's my matinee?
And he said, he looked at his desk and saw a script for this movie called A Star Is Born. And he was like, we got a role of a lifetime for you, kid. Olivia Bartholomew in A Star Is Born. You're reading against Judy Garland, but I think you can really kill it. And like promised Kristen like she would get this role in this like major movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had Kristen go read for it. And then he told her that she got the part. And he was like, congratulations, kid, you nailed it. You're starting work on Monday. Show up to the studio ready to work. And she came to the studio, but it was all a ruse. And he had told all the security guards and everyone just to, like, not let her in, not pay attention to her.
They were always going to cast Judy.
They were never not going to cast Judy. He was just like, I mean, when Kristen gets really angry, she's terrifying.
Yeah.
And, like, she scared him and he didn't know how to talk her off the ledge and say no. So he thought, here's what I'll do. I'll just like destroy her dream in one fell swoop with instead of actually saying no and being honest.
Hollywood.
Yeah. Classic Hollywood. So
she showed up to work one day and they were like, hey, we don't know an Olivia. Like they gaslit her.
Yeah.
And they were like, sorry, you're.
She's like, Olivia Bartholomew showing up for A Star Is Born.
They're like, Judy Garland's already like getting in hair and makeup. Like,
yeah.
She started
over the weekend and like, do you have ID or anything? And she like wagged her headshots in the security guard's face.
I'm Esther. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, no. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go, ma'am.
So Kristen was like, you're going to have to go, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Which was it was soul crushing.
So Kristen was like out on the street of the studio, like smoking a cig. And she was like, fuck, like I hate this place.
Yeah. And you know what? Like
she held her cigarette to her face and like looked up for a second And in the background, she heard Loretta's, because it was like, fuck this.
Fuck this. Fuck Olivia Bartholomew and fuck this Hollywood. Fucking guy and fuck Hollywood. And she went home and ripped up all her headshots, packed them into a bag, called a taxi and said, take me to Bel Air. And this taxi driver drove her to Bel Air, and Kristen lit this guy, studio exec's house on fire.
With the headshots.
With the headshots. She created a pile of headshots under at his front door, lit them aflame, and it burned down Bel Air. And it was the great Bel Air fire of 1961, which you can Google. Look it up. Was insane. So many people lost their homes. It was devastating.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go. Because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable, I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra-large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
So she's like driving. It's like one of those like old 50s movies where they're in the car and there's like a very fake background. It's like it looks like that in the background. You see the billowing smoke and the fire from Bel Air.
Yeah.
She's, floor it to the boat, sir.
Yeah.
And he takes her to San Pedro to like the shipyard.
Mm-hmm. Because Kristen had had enough of America at this point.
She was like, fuck it. I'm going to
fucking Europe.
I'm going to Paris.
I'm going to go to Paris.
She heard about it.
That's what I'm going to do.
So she got on the ship and she's on the dock on the bow of the ship smoking her cig and she's watching in the distance. You can see like the orange from the Bel Air.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like,
She smiles to herself.
Yeah.
And she resolves at that moment that she's going to start her life over.
Yeah.
So she takes this boat. It takes like 10 weeks to get to Europe.
She goes the longest way possible. It's like Spirit Airways.
It's like an old shipping route that she like ended up on.
She goes from LA to Panama to Miami and then to New York and then back to Miami and then back to New York and then to London.
And you have to remember, like, she didn't know geography very well, so it just like you can it was just
it was
difficult.
Hard
yeah but she finally got there.
She got to Paris
and she kind of found her calling in Paris. Like, the thing about Kristen and part of this like curse that she had underwent was not only like is she going to be age of Adeline, but Kristen was always like ahead of the curve but never got like recognition for anything that she did. So like when she was in Paris in the 60s, she was like the darling of French New Wave cinema and was like became like the muse of all these directors, yet was like never cast in their movies. So like when Jean Seberg cut her hair into like that iconic pixie cut,
it was actually Kristen.
It was actually Kristen who had done it first.
She was sitting in like a salon in Paris and like she was just, you know, she knew all the stylists and she was sitting in the chair and she was smoking a cig and she was like, just take it all off. She was like really like speeding and she was like, just rip it all with your hands even.
Get it out. Get it off me.
And they were like, oh, okay. So they started cutting her hair and it was really, it was like the original pixie. And Jane walked in and, or Jean walked in and was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I want that.
That is radical and I want it.
I want it.
And there were, so they gave her one and then she, of course, took all the credit.
Yeah. And
classic.
Classic. But that's just like the hand Dodie was dealt. And so, like, Kristen kind of spent most of the 60s flitting around Europe. And, and she really enjoyed herself. And,
She was stable.
This was like a good period of her life. Like
she hung out with like really cool writers. She hung out with like James Baldwin.
And she read a lot.
Yeah.
And she learned a lot over that. And that's like where the majority of her education came from during this like period of like counterculture and like art.
Yeah. She was like hanging out with like gays and like drag queens and like she was like just like, and it was actually like a beautiful period for her. Like she felt really enriched and she was like, God, like, I'm so happy that I'm away from that life.
Yeah.
Like, these people are really taking me seriously. They respect me.
She would write poetry and sometimes perform it. She learned how to speak French. She would take these long strolls around the old French cemeteries and watch the leaves change in the fall. And even though she never really slowed down like her speed use, like she never quit entirely, but this was like maybe the time in her life where she felt the most peace.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. She would like perform like performance art, like experimental theater.
She was super close with Jim Morrison and his like girlfriend, and they would all hang out. And like he kind of like bit a lot of Kristen's poetry. Like she wrote like a lot of Doors songs were based off of like Kristen's own poetry.
Fuck the Doors.
I know. Another reason to just like fucking hate Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
As if you needed another
one. As if you
one.
Needed a fucking reason.
But, like, listen to, like, Riders on the Storm. That was fucking Kristen.
Dodie all over it.
Yeah. The Lizard King.
Dodie. And she would, like, she was a good sport about it.
She was a good sport about it because at this point she was, like,
whatever.
She was, like, whatever. I'm going to live forever. So, like, recognition became, like, very secondary to her. And after, like, the Hollywood debacle, she was really disenfranchised with the idea of, like, being credited.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was more in, like, a sharing kind of place. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, she influenced our culture in ways that, like, no one even knows.
Yeah, like, we're still parsing through how she
her influence
altered Western culture.
Yeah. So
60s kind of, you know, and she was, she, it was great. She didn't have to be in America really during Vietnam, so she kind of missed that whole period. So there was like things that, you know, so the civil rights and like, you know, feminist rise of feminism and like rise of gay rights, like all these like crazy things that were happening in the country, anti-military. But she was like,
she was an artist.
Yeah. I'm good.
She's like, I'll stay here. This speaks to me more. Mm-hmm. She's like, I've really been through it with America, and God knows things didn't end well with World War II. So I'm going to stay out of it this
time. She would like blow us, be like, I hate America.
Mm-hmm. She always said that.
Ugh, America. I know, right? She like spoke, she had kind of a Lindsay Lohan accent.
Yeah, she definitely like spoke with an affect at this point. And she kind of eventually joined this like jet setting scene where like, you know, she would spend the majority of her year in Paris or like Berlin. And then in the summer, she'd go down to like the south of France.
Or Monaco,
like the Mediterranean.
She'd just like be on yachts and like go to the casinos.
And lounge. With, like, and be topless. And
Prince Rainier and Princess Grace.
And, like, yeah. And she was just in this like chic, kind of fast moving crowd. Mm-hmm. And then she always also had like speed on her. So people were really nice.
Yeah. Cause like Coke and speed back then were like kind of novel.
Yeah. So one day, Kristen, like she was on the beach
early 70s,
south of France. And
she had
full armpit hair and a huge bush. She was not shaving her legs. It was amazing though.
It was
like hot.
It was really hot.
And she'd passed out naked on the beach. She was face down in the sand after a long night. She came to and she heard these people like fucking near her.
It happened a lot to her.
I mean, it was like free love. Europe. And like, it was kind of wherever you go, people are fucking around here in your general vicinity. Mm-hmm. And she heard the sounds of a couple making love, and she kind of got up, like dusted the sand off of her.
Oh, is someone making love?
And
she turned and it was
Lisa and Ken.
Lisa and fucking Ken.
And they were like 69ing behind a rock.
Yeah.
And Lisa was like, can I? Told you not to come over here. There's a girl watching us.
Yes. Lisa was a little like prim. She was prim.
She was young then. Like she and Ken had just gotten together.
Yeah, they were like, and Ken was like, baby, this is how we do it here. And she was like, no, but there's sand everywhere and, you know, grits. And,
yeah. And Kristen was like, oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. Like, don't mind me. Like, I'm just going to take a dip in the ocean. So she ran into the ocean naked. And then Lisa and Ken kind of just like watched her like swim around, and they became really like entranced. Yeah. Aroused and entranced by this like nymph creature that had just like started out as like a dead body on the beach, but then like now is like beautiful, like playing in the sun.
And
the
so
sand.
Lisa was kind of like, she kind of gave Ken a look like, yeah, I'm into it. Mm-hmm. So Ken was like, really?
And Ken was always looking for like opportunities to swing or like do like live out various sexual fantasies. And so Lisa was in.
Lisa was totally in. Like she was really she kind of like, you know, sealed the deal with it. So
she was like,
You there. Come over here. And Kristen was like, whatever.
Sure.
And then Kristen kind of saw them in a different light, and she suddenly was like locked eyes with Lisa and was like, wow, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And Lisa was like, thank you, darling.
She's like, do you want to join us for dinner?
By dinner, I mean
fucking behind this rock. And Kristen's like, hell yeah. So rock and roll. So they had like this crazy group sex as the sun went down behind a rock on like a secret beach in the south of France.
Yeah.
And it was magical.
Magic.
Pure magic.
So for the rest of the summer, they were sort of like, they were always together. Like where they were was the part. They were always at every scene together, the three of them. They were kind of like a throuple.
Yeah. Ken, Lisa, and Kristen. And they just like,
they were powerhouses.
They were powerhouses. They traveled. They made love. They drank champagne. And they just like,
they did early cocaine.
And they just like fucked all the time.
Yeah. And it was beautiful.
And Kristen and Lisa really like, they were falling for each other.
They started fucking behind Ken's back.
Yeah.
And like just being together and canoodling and like just, going on long walks and talking about the future and mm-hmm. like plans. And Kristen never really told her about her past, but she like threaded in like little hints that yeah. she had been alive since the 30, you know,
alive for 40 something years
and still looked like
18, 20, yeah. 27.
So Lisa was like intrigued by her mystery, but she never really pressed her.
Yeah.
But then, you know, summer came to an end mm-hmm. and even though, you know, Kristen at one point was like, Lisa, you don't have to go with Ken. Like,
yeah.
Stay here with me. Like, we can just be doing this all the time. Like, we don't have to, like, I don't have to do anything.
Kristen was in love with Lisa.
And Lisa maybe was in love with her, but.
Yeah. And she begged Lisa to just stay and, like, leave Ken and they could have this. She promised her a beautiful life. Like, she didn't know how it would work, but she just said, we don't need to know. What I've learned so far is that we don't need to know how anything will work.
And she doesn't really, because she's immortal.
Yeah.
But
it'll work, and just trust us. Trust this. And
Lisa thought for a minute, but, you know, Ken was really rich and she did love Ken.
Yeah.
And so they had like a lot of like business plans together. And Lisa was like, I can't, darling. Mm-hmm. I have to go with my man.
Mm-hmm.
So they bid adieu.
Yeah.
And Lisa and Ken kind of scurried off to
wherever the fuck they were
in the 70s.
And Kristen was heartbroken.
Devastated.
She was like, it was as though her heart had been ripped out of her chest by Lisa and it was still beating, and Lisa like stomped it on the ground.
She just like wandered around like the winding roads of Monaco for like days.
Mm-hmm.
And then
barefoot,
of course. And then she kind of went off the grid.
Yeah. She went way off the grid. This is kind of what we refer to as like the lost years.
We don't know much.
She
was in Romania for a little and like, then got really into like vampirism.
She had like a vampirism moment that was like, it's not, like, she figured like, I'm immortal, like whatever, I'll just like start sucking the blood of like children and small pets. And then it graduated to like humans. It was like just a 2-year
children period. Are not humans.
Yeah. And like, and it was bad. She killed, but you know what?
We're not going to go there.
When you live forever, so, yeah. It's just like a thing that you yeah. probably do.
She was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
She's not the killing type.
No, she was like, where's the romance in this?
Yeah.
So she nursed her heartbreak with the blood of the innocent and then finally decided, I need to go to the epicenter where things are happening.
In the late 70s. New York City, baby.
Yeah.
She went directly to Studio 54
mm-hmm.
and was living it up.
Yeah. She was the toast of the town.
Toast of the town. She was like super tight with Steve Rubell and like, you know, Betty Ford and Liza Minnelli. Liza would always go, Kristen!
Kristen, do that dance!
Kristen! Do that little thing you taught me. What is that thing you do with your hips and your legs? Then Kristen would like just do her normal body contortions, and then Liza would start like implementing it in her dances. Yeah.
So like Kristen basically was Liza Minnelli's muse.
And choreographer
and created all the dance moves that Liza was pulling. Kristen also was the first person to ever do the splits on the dance floor of a nightclub.
And a cartwheel. She was like yucking it up. She was on so much coke.
Yeah, the coke flowed like water, and Kristen just owned the dance floor at Studio 54. It wasn't a party until Kristen arrived at a cartwheel and like a back handspring into just the splits, where she'd just like vibe up and down on the floor, kind of like she did in that episode where they all went to Mexico and yeah. James DJ'd, but uh-huh. like in Studio 54 with like Bianca Jagger like dancing nearby.
And like Brooke Shields' mom.
Yeah. And it was like major.
And like, she was just the life, and she didn't have a home. She just slept on, she crashed.
Yeah.
Every night.
She'd be up for a long time and then crash. And like, even Andy Warhol was like fascinated by her.
That?
Yeah. And
Liza would go, oh, it's Kristen.
It's Kristen. You gotta meet her. And like, and
come over here and meet her.
But Kristen would not give Andy the time of day.
No, she was like, you're annoying.
She was like, you're a fucking user and a loser.
And you're a tool.
And you're a fucking tool. You suck.
You suck and you're not profound.
And he would beg her to like sit for his photo. Like he wanted to just like take a photo, add her to a screen, and she refused. And that's why to this day, like Kristen has never had like a Warhol portrait or shows up in that, because she was just like, fuck this guy. He's like a user and a poser.
Good call.
I'm where the party's at.
But honestly, like, good for her.
Yeah. No, it was like a power move. She became tight with, like, Diane von Furstenberg.
You actually told me that she was... you can explain it.
She's the original inventor of the wrap dress.
She and Diane were, like, doing blow in a bathroom one time in Studio 54, and she was wearing, like, a
jumpsuit.
A jumpsuit, Kristen
like
was.
Like a onesie, yeah. And Kristen, she... You know when you just, like, do too much coke and you, like, can't take your clothes?
She was like, Diane, I gotta take this off! So she took it all...
Just get it off me! Get it off! And Diane just, like, whipped it down the middle. Ripped the legs. And...
Fold it over. Do something.
So now I'm naked. What the fuck?
And Diane was really scared, so she kind of wrapped it.
Yeah. She grabbed like a rope and just like wrapped it around.
And then Diane saw it and was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And Kristen was like, what? What are you talking about?
She's like, you're so fucking annoying.
So fucking annoying, Diane.
I'm going back to the dance
floor. I'm leaving. So she left her in there, and then Diane...
We all know what happened.
Monetized that shit.
Yeah, DVF. Now here we are years later.
Yeah.
With this wrap dress, iconic look that Kristen Doty created. She was also the first person to ever enter a dance club on a horse.
On a white horse.
On a white horse.
Whoa.
Which Bianca Jagger promptly ripped off.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So Kristen, and that was the thing of Studio 54 is like your star burns bright until it burns out, and maybe you're recognized and maybe you're not, but
maybe
more often than not, you're chewed up and spit out.
And you know, end of 70s, early 80s, Studio 54, like we all know what happened. It was in over its head with money, and Steve Rebell like did some shady dealings, and it closed down.
Mm-hmm.
So the party stopped.
The party was over.
And then
obviously the 80s.
We don't have to talk about the early 80s anymore.
Yeah, Kristen lost a lot of people.
Kristen just, yeah, she lost friends. She saw a lot of darkness, and it got a little too real for her.
Yeah.
And she was sort of like...
Especially being an immortal, like during that time, it was just like...
Survivor, like guilt.
She felt consumed by death, yet not given the mercy of the release of death.
So she kind of like got a little like jaded by just the party lifestyle that she'd been living for the last 20 years or 10 years or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, God, like I feel like kind of like it all amounted to nothing. And like all these amazing, beautiful artists and like profound people and like wonderful people, like bad things are happening all around me. She's like, I'm going to become a Republican.
Yeah.
So she became a Republican in the mid-80s and early to mid-80s. And she actually was on the Reagan campaign.
She was like a hardcore conservative.
She was like, what did she say? She was like, I might be socially loopy, but I'm entitled to a pretty penny.
Yeah.
And I'll keep it.
She created like fiscal conservatism.
Like socially liberal, but fiscally conservative.
Yeah. But then she like championed this new wave of conservatism and like, conservatism and like honestly like I mean I don't want to have to be the one to say this, but the reason where we're at politically today has a lot to do with Kristen's championing and work.
She was a hardcore she was like a hardcore like staffer. Like she intimidated people, she got people like to vote, she rallied
she was
votes.
Savvy
she was savvy and like
and she had unlimited energy and just could like really galvanize the community. And she, you know, she'd seen it all. And this was her way of kind of fighting back against everything that she had seen, and her way of resisting, even though it wasn't the right way. But it was all she knew.
I mean, it was the very right way.
I mean, it was the far right way.
But she... And then he got elected, of course. And then we were in the Reagan era. And we all know what was happening then. Like, they were just, you know, garbage people who ignored...
everything.
Lots of bad things that were going on, and mm-hmm. we don't have to go into it. And Kristen, at certain points, tried to maybe say, hey, maybe we should be paying attention to that big thing that's happening in the 80s.
Yeah, she's like,
a lot of people, lot of my friends.
I've lost a lot of people, and this actually is, like, important. And then Nancy Reagan would be like, shut up.
Oh, honey, shut the fuck up.
And then Kristen was like, Nancy, you're a cunt.
She was the first person to ever call Nancy Reagan a cunt. The C word.
Yeah.
And she was like,
she stuck a cigarette and she goes, you know what, Nancy, you're a real cunt.
So, of course, Nancy
was like, she's out of here.
She got her fired.
Yeah.
And Kristen was not like, that that matters roll. Because then Nancy Reagan eventually died and is in hell.
Yeah.
So, that's, it's all good.
When she got fired, see, Kristen still kind of had her psychic abilities that would come to her every once in a while. And, like, Nancy turned on her after she dropped the C word bomb on her, and
she was right.
Yeah, she let her go, and then Kristen just like kind of lightly touched Nancy's hand
and just went,
she is you're gonna burn in hell. And Nancy just like smiled, but it was true. So
that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah. then
she got
Kristen, she decided she'd had enough of America. She was burnt out on America. So she went back to Britain.
She went to... Oh, well, that was later.
Okay.
First, she got really into... she moved to Seattle.
Okay.
In the late 80s.
Oh, amazing.
And she kind of... Again, she keeps like... Every era of hers is like a reaction against the last era. Mm-hmm. So she sort of like came from this conservative, like uber Republican moment and then was like, fuck that. I'm going back to my roots.
Which was chaos.
So she became like a hardcore pioneer of the grunge scene in Seattle.
Yeah.
And was like,
she was fucking,
she was a barista, but like she would punch like customers if they were getting rowdy with the women there.
And, she was a barista. She was also in like a girl band.
Oh, she was in a Riot Girl band.
Yeah.
What were they called?
They were called Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke. And they just like banged like surfaces.
They would scream, 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 and then like bang chairs on the ground.
And Kristen it was would like bang with her foot.
Yeah. She'd like, bang.
Percussion thing. And she would bang cans.
And she'd be like, you don't care.
No one fucking cares. And everyone would just cheer.
Yeah. And it was like
spit on people.
So moving. And the energy was so like raw. And yeah, like
her head was shaved.
Yeah, it was incredible.
She was so hot.
Yeah. And she would just like rage out and like bang around.
She hated men, which
she hated men great. Was sexy.
Yeah.
She also worked as a stripper at like a strip club. Yeah. And she would strip in like a pair of like workman's boots and like a flannel shirt.
Oh my god. So she kind of started the flannel grunge phase.
Yeah. And she like, you know who saw her in her girl band and was like way inspired? Kurt Cobain.
Holy shit. And Isaac from Modest Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
They would like go to her. Kurt was like she was an inspiration for him. Like when he started out in Nirvana, he was like, he always was like, yeah, maybe we'll do it like this. And he would have an image of Kristen being like, fuck you. And
yeah.
Like, that's the kind of like nonchalant, like, I don't give a fuck if you're listening to me, but you're listening. So fuck you.
Yeah.
You
know? And also like, I'm so depressed. And like, how do I put a voice to like my depression and these like dark thoughts?
Yeah.
And Kristen did that better than anyone. Cause she literally lived for like 50 years.
And saw so much shit.
Yeah. And so Kristen's like raging. She's again, muse to like a whole movement.
Mm-hmm.
And she met Courtney Love
when they
were stripping.
Oh, because Courtney did that.
Yeah, because Courtney was a stripper too. And they kind of had like a fling with each other. Yes, they did.
No.
They did.
Holy
and they
fuck.
Like lived together. Courtney like did heroin and Kristen did amphetamines. And they just like really were like a fucked up yin yang.
Yeah.
But it was major.
And they like would play shows just for each other in their like.
And they would
loft.
Write so much poetry together.
Yeah. Courtney was like writing some of her best songs while she was like with Kristen.
Yeah.
Kristen would be like, that's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, baby. Rock and fucking roll.
Rock and fucking roll, she would say.
And she hadn't felt like this about anyone since her.
And then Kristen at one point was like, wait, I don't know how to write anymore because I've done so many drugs.
Kristen, her penmanship was never the best. It was just like And her spelling was like off, you know.
Courtney taught her how to write.
Courtney did teach her how to write again. Yeah. Yeah. Kristen like lost. And after like the 70s and early 80s, Kristen really lost the ability to actually physically write.
Yeah.
But Courtney took her by the hand.
And led her.
And led her. And it led to this like beautiful love relationship between the two of them. Yeah. But then Courtney left Kristen.
Don't say it.
For Kurt. And again, Kristen was left heartbroken.
Scorned.
Scorned, pissed.
Riot.
Riot.
Rage.
Rage.
Don't tell me. Don't even say it.
You know what she did.
No.
I'm not going to say it like explicitly, but she did something.
That changed.
That changed the course of history and ended Kurt's life.
Stop.
And not only that, but like lightly implemented Courtney in the whole thing as her like revenge. I mean, look, Kristen's no angel. She's not perfect.
She's impulsive.
You fuck her over and she will get the ultimate revenge on you.
She does.
She does. She will stop at nothing.
It's actually really true.
Yeah. That's her entire life.
Damn.
We're talking since the 1930s. This is what she's been like.
You know, sands of time.
It is what it is.
They harden you.
Rock and roll, baby.
Rock and roll.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Kristen only had, there was one place where she could go after this. Down to Silicon Valley.
Oh my God, the early dot-com boom is happening.
Yeah. And Kristen saw opportunity. She said,
of course she did.
Yeah, she was like, I want to get in. Like,
I'm cutting you off.
No, go for it.
I just had a flash of real. Remember when we found this out?
Yeah.
These like nerds were just in their garage one day and like out in like, you know, Palo Alto or something. Yeah. And they were just like, what? Guys, fuck.
They were trying to do something. Like they thought they were like, they were on to this like idea of the internet and like
connectivity
and trying to think of like what they could do with it.
To help people talk to each other really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, instantly almost.
And they were like coding, but they still were like coming up dry.
And then one day, and one night, I should say.
Yeah.
The garage door opened and standing there barefoot was Kristen.
Yeah.
She went, what's up, nerds?
What's up, you fucking nerds?
What's up, you fucking nerds? Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me. None of you look at me. She went,
don't look at me.
She fired a warning shot.
Yeah. By this time, Kristen was always like heavily armed.
Oh, she had, because she was like, people are on to me.
People are on to me. I need to protect myself. But also, she was like, you know what I've never had in my life? Money. And I want it now. She saw the opportunity in the dot-com boom.
She fired a warning shot and she said, no one look at me, face the wall.
Yeah.
She goes, she looked up their coding. She ran their data and was like, this is good. This is good, you nerds.
This is really good. So I want a job here.
And they were like, all right, can you type things? And she was like, yeah, I can type. But like, they had to stop having her type things because she was breaking too many keyboards. Because whenever she would type, she would go like that.
Yeah, she'd just be like. And like, she taught herself how to code, which was cool.
She was a pioneer in coding.
In like C++. It but, really weirdly made sense to her because she was on so many amphetamines that she just was like.
But a lot of her codes were off because she was typing too many things, because whenever she would hit the keyboard, she would always type too many letters. So the coding always had like an extra few numbers to it.
But randomly through that coding, she like, it was like through all the glitches in her coding, she ended up inventing AOL. What we know now today is AOL. Everything was wrong. Nothing was working with the internet.
And then suddenly the dial-up tone that she heard came on.
Yeah, came on.
And she goes, guys, we're online.
We're online. Everyone.
And everyone was like, what? And she's like, we're online. She's and they're like, oh, okay.
She was like, whatever. And so she then like downloaded the program immediately to a CD-ROM.
A floppy disk. A CD. And she waved it around.
She waved it. She was like,
this is it. This is
I've
the
done?
Future. And they were like, okay, cool. Can we have it? And she was like.
Well, she's like, they're like, what do you want to call it? Like, you kind of invent. You can take the lead on this one, Dodie. They all called her Dodie because it was like bros. That's like when she started being called Dodie.
It was like early Silicon Valley bros.
Yeah. And like, what's it going to be, Dodie? What do you want to call it? And she was like, I'm going to call it, yeah, I'm fucking here. I'm fucking
That's
online.
The name.
That's the name.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Online.
We're online. And we're fucking like, online.
And they're like, I don't think so. So
WFO. We're fucking online.
We're fucking online.
They were like,
that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
So they went with AOL, and she, of course, didn't get any credit.
Well, yeah. They were like, we went with AOL, and she was like, you guys are fucking full of shit. You're fucking, fuck you, fuck off. And just like threw the CD-ROM at the guys in the garage.
And stormed off, and they were like, cool. And they used it, and they started AOL. Mm-hmm.
So there was only one place to go after the America Online thing failed for her.
England.
Back to Europe.
She got really into the Britpop scene.
She was fucking both of the Gallagher brothers for a while. That's
Robbie
like
Williams.
Why they feuded so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, their feud was because of her.
Yeah.
And that also started, like, she was always at the concerts. Like, that's when she got a real taste for rock and roll, was, like, you know, with Tom Sandoval and everything.
But especially, like, kind of emo front men, like, that have, like, a Britpop edge.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she, like, fully just, like, loved it so hard. And like, so, like, you'd see this girl in the concerts, like, in the front, being, like...
She was, like, doing what Gwyneth was doing at Coldplay with, like, her headphones on at, like, Live 8 with Apple Martin. You know, you know those pictures of them where they both had the big... And it was, like, so cool. But Kristen was doing that, like, 5 years before.
Yeah.
And, of course...
We all know.
Gwyneth
took that. Classic Dodie.
Classic Gwyneth.
Classic Gwyneth. Stealing... Everyone stole from Dodie.
So the Britpop scene sort of ended as very quickly.
As it does. And Kristen decided... That she was going to... Well, actually, she had another run-in with Lisa during
this
time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because Lisa and Ken were living in England.
And they were like restaurateurs.
Yeah, they were restaurateurs at this point.
They had lots of nightclubs. They were
so
like
many
on the scene.
They had like 27 restaurants.
And one night this...
The Shadow Lounge
the
was
Shadow
like
Lounge.
A big moment for them. And like Kristen would always be at the Shadow Lounge just like chaining in a booth somewhere.
And Lisa looked over at her and she was like, I know that girl from somewhere.
Who's
and she
that?
Strolled up to her and she looked at her and she goes, what's your secret?
Yeah.
Why haven't you aged? And
Lisa was like, what kind of sorcery are you doing? Dotie.
What kind of warlock are you?
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who you are.
Lisa goes, tell me your secret, witch.
She goes... I could have you burned at the stake. They do that to ones like you. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. She goes, I don't trust your youth. I don't trust it one bit. I've had 7 nose jobs since we saw each other.
Really, tell me. She's like, really, tell me your secret.
No, she's like, really, who's the doctor? Like, give me names. Like, it's chill. Are we fine now?
Yeah, are we cool from that whole thing? And Kristen's like, no, we're not cool.
Kristen's like, no, we're not.
She puts her cigarette on, she goes, and this place sucks, by the way, and she storms out.
She's like, it smells like farts in here. Lisa was like, I knew it. That's why Lisa started getting into like flowers, is because Kristen told her that the Shadow Lounge smelled like reeked of farts. So then Lisa insisted on having fresh flowers everywhere she went, and every property that she owned had to have fresh flowers after that.
It's true.
So Kristen stormed out. And then Lisa was like, who the fuck was this witch, actually? Like, she was like, something's not right. And so she hired like a PI.
To follow Kristen around London.
To follow Kristen around London and like try and get to the bottom of like whatever witchcraft she's pulling.
But Kristen, you know, she has no state. She has no fucks to give in this world.
No.
And she decided to burn her trail.
Well, you know what she did.
She
fucking took a taxi.
She took a taxi.
She hopped in a cab again.
She said, step on it.
Hopped in a cab at Piccadilly Circus and said, get me to the country.
And she drove out to the country.
She drove out to Lisa and Ken's country house and burned it to the fucking ground. And Lisa and Ken pulled up from one of their like nights out at Shadow Lounge.
And their house was on fire. So Ken's like running in to save the dogs. And Lisa's just sitting there. And she
Lisa's
goes,
like, this is unfortunate. And then, like, they were obviously, like, sad and devastated. But a few weeks later, Lisa got this, like, fat insurance check. And she was like, maybe that witch is on to something after all.
And that's why we believe Lisa.
And that's how Lisa got into burning down
her
properties for insurance money.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But we all know it's happening.
We don't know that for sure, but we just think maybe.
You like have a very formidable theory that she,
I'm a truther of this, but you're also
on like, you're on like a fire radio listening for when she sets fire to Sir. Because there's always a fire at
there's
Sir.
Always a fire. The one at Tom Tom, believe me, I'll bet in the next 2 years there will be a freak fire at Tom Tom. You keep an eye out. People go, no, it's fucking true.
It's happening.
But it's not true for the record.
It's not true at all.
I just don't want her to think that I'm the whistleblower. Even though I am, but now
she
I
has
have
a file on you.
She definitely does. Yeah. If anything bad happens
number.
To me, like I have a staircase type accident in my apartment, which I realized that other after I watched The Staircase for forever, I didn't put together that I lived in a staircase. that could easily become of me.
Yeah. If we're both dead.
If we're both dead.
6 months.
I'd say within the next 16 years. If anything weird happens.
Lisa loves a slow burn.
Yeah.
She's not going to go quickly. She wants to draw it out.
Also, if I ever like go crazy and like you hear about it, that wasn't true. I'm just going to say that now for protective purposes. As I'm doing like fan fiction, like forced everyone here to come out to listen to us like spiel off about Kristen Doty.
I think there's a good chance
sane.
Both of us are going to be considered threats to ourselves and the public.
But yeah, so Lisa burns down things for insurance money is the bottom line. So
anyway, Kristen was like, I got to get out of England. So she went back to L.A.
Yeah. And then she got back to L.A. like right in like 2005, right when like all this exciting like celebrity stuff was brewing.
Like so Lindsay like, Lohan, like, Paris Hilton,
yeah,
Nicole Richie, Britney Spears when she was like before 2007.
And Kristen was out one night at Chateau Marmont when she heard like Kristen was doing, she was on like a no food kick. So yeah. She ordered
no
like,
food, all ketamine.
No food, all ketamine. She got really into ketamine because she was like, blow really did nothing for her. And she was trying to take a break off of amphetamines, but then she was like, I need something to take the edge off. So yeah. She would do a lot of K and like go to Chateau. And then she would order, she'd just be like, can I have a 3 sticks of asparagus with balsamic vinaigrette on the side?
And they were like, yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's sexy. And she's like, I know, right? Give me a lighter. And so then she'd like smoke and be in a K-hole and eat asparagus. And this woman, this rail thin,
kind of like Loretta,
goblin of a woman that Kristen at first thought was Loretta.
She was like, oh,
her,
fuck, she's
she
alive.
Was, she's alive.
It
guess
was
who
Rachel
it was?
Zoe.
It was Rachel Zoe, yeah.
She's like, what are you doing over there?
Rachel said, was like,
that's amazing.
What did you just order? That was amazing. Kristen was like, it's fucking asparagus. Ever heard of it?
And she's like, no, the other thing.
No. What?
Oh, ketamine? And she's like,
yeah. She's like, they give my dogs that sometimes at the vet.
And she's like, yeah, I like don't eat anything except asparagus. And yeah. It's great. And
Kristen
she's
was like, I put it in my ass. It's amazing.
So she's that's like, how Rachel Zoe started her like
started. Well, she was like, do you want to work for me? And Kristen was like, sure.
Why not?
Kristen is a kind of person that since when you live forever, you just say yes to everything.
She comes from a place of yes.
Yeah, always. That's like she started that trend too, coming from a place of yes. So Kristen started working for Rachel, but she wasn't like really we'll go back in a second, explain that last slide. But she started working for Rachel, and since she wasn't really, like, chic, like, Kristen never learned how, like, good style. You would think that someone that's lived for almost 100 years would learn how to dress themselves, but no.
Not Kristen.
Not Kristen. So she started working for Rachel and became known as like the go-to ketamine dealer in Los Angeles,
specifically for Rachel Zoe's stable of starlets.
Yeah, and
you
so
know, cause she was like styling like Lindsay Lohan, Anne Hathaway, Kate Hudson, like all the girls, like the you know mid-aughts girls.
Yeah, Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie.
And so they'd say they'd go K is for Kristen. And then Kristen would come over.
She had like a K necklace.
She had like a little K necklace. She'd like give them a bump if you were at the club, or she'd just like give you a vial that you could like up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Which to, by her account subtle. Was like the most effective way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's subtle.
She's like, I love it like this. So Kristen, something about this photo that Kristen's, you don't know.
Kristen's actually in the back seat.
Passed out because she went into a K-hole.
And she was like, I just gotta sit down.
Yeah, and she laid down and missed this, like, prime photo opportunity.
So again, she's missing the boat, and she could have been in this very, like, you know, iconoclast moment in yeah. pop culture, but she's back there somewhere.
So she dealt K for a little while, and she when she met Lindsay, the two of them,
oh my God.
They really hit it off. She was Lindsay's girlfriend at this time.
Yeah.
That's why she was in the back seat.
She was pre-Samron.
She was pre-Samro.
So they...
And
yeah,
yet again...
She left her for Samronson.
Mm-hmm.
So Kristen was left behind once again.
And this time she was, like, truly... Like, it was, like... She was the end of her rope.
Yeah.
Like, she literally was, like, what can... I can never find love. I can't kill myself.
So what should I do? And she said, maybe I'll work at a restaurant.
Maybe I'll work at a restaurant. Then she was like, fuck that. I would never want to work at a restaurant. Then one day she was in, I think she was in like CVS.
She was at CVS and she saw this cashier with a bowl cut.
And she was
and
like,
braces.
She was like, that's the hottest fucking girl I've ever seen. And
it was
she
Sandoval.
Approached him. Yeah, it was Tom. No, that is a sticker for you. Another genius, ladies and gentlemen.
Aunt Freckle.
Aunt Freckle. So Kristen decided, she was like, I'm going to make my move on this fucking bartender. No, not even a bartender.
On the CVS tender. She was like, I'm going to buy some gum.
Yeah. She bought some gum.
And get one of those really long receipts.
Yeah. And
so she bought gum and a bottle of Dasani.
A bottle of Dasani, her favorite water. And she bought three packs of cool cigarettes. She loved menthols. You know that.
She did.
Her. And when the receipt printed out, the cashier, Tom Sandoval, who she thought was a woman at the time, was like, here's your receipt. And she threw it around his neck. And pulled him in real close.
And she said, hey, want to live together?
And he said,
yeah.
Hell yeah, you're hot. So she was like, thanks. Name's Doty. Kristen Doty. And then it wasn't until that night that they started fucking that she realized that Tom Sandoval was actually a dude. And then she was like... Whatever.
I guess we have to live with each other now.
Yeah, we're going to live here. She was like, this apartment.
There was no great. Door.
She didn't love the apartment.
No.
She was like,
the door
whatever.
Had like a big cardboard box in the frame.
Yeah. And she was just like, this will just be a blip on the radar anyways. I live forever. But then.
That's not
years
how it
went
happened.
By. And she and Tom lived together. And then one day she was walking around in West Hollywood and she walked into this restaurant called Sir.
It was like she had to like stand back because the smell was so like potent.
It was
the
like
florals, and she was like, God, it smells like farts with flowers in here.
Yeah, she was like,
what the fuck is this?
Smells familiar but like pungent at yeah. the same time.
She goes, it's pungent as fuck. And all the people are like setting up and they're like, what? She goes, why is it so fucking pungent? And all of a sudden, out of the woodwork
comes Lisa Vanderpump. Almost floating.
Yeah.
And she walks right up to her and she goes,
hello, witch.
Hello, witch.
I knew I'd see you again.
Knew your soft, the wind and would blow went, you my way.
She went,
what?
What?
What's going on here?
Do you have a cigarette?
Can I get a glass of wine? So she sat down at a table with Lisa, and Lisa goes,
drink your potion. Mystical sorceress.
You can...
I know.
She goes, do something with it.
She goes...
Do a trick.
Do a trick for me.
Kristen goes,
It doesn't work like that. And Lisa goes...
Speaking of work,
I have a proposition for you. And I think it's an offer you won't be able to refuse. And then she proceeds to tell her that she's not only hired a private investigator to find out everything, but she basically is like, the jig is up, witch.
I'm going to report you to the government.
Yeah.
She had pulled out a manila envelope just full of like photos.
Photos
like,
from
receipts.
Years. All photos from the fucking circus in the 30s.
Pictures of her like in the booth.
Photos of like, yeah, her spooky little tent.
Coffee Kristen, a photo of her like with like rosy Raggedy Ann makeup on, just like.
Pounding on the piano with like a leg up,
yeah.
With the drum on her back, like in a whole, like, what is it called? An accordion.
Yeah. A picture of
dancing
her.
Around.
A
tending
picture of
to like
the
USO.
Olivia Bartholomew headshot.
Yeah. That was like taped up because it used to be ripped and kind of burned on the sides.
Yeah.
A photo of Bel Air on fire. And Lisa goes, I live in that neighborhood now. And the only one who'll be setting fires there is me. Because it's like, you can't prove shit. And she goes, oh, can't I? I can and I will.
She goes, all right, what do I have to do?
She goes, you'll work for me. Forever.
It's like Scientology. She pulls out like a huge scroll. It's like longer than a CVS receipt.
She pulls out another huge scroll.
And a quill. And she passes it to her.
And Kristen goes, I don't want to do this. She goes, you don't have a choice, you demon.
Witch.
You witch demon.
She goes, I'll start a crucible right here and now.
She goes, I need your alchemy. This restaurant, it's going places.
She goes, I know you see it, witch. And Kristen gets a sudden flash.
Sudden flash of like lights, camera, action.
She hears the theme song for Vanderpump Rules. Just
she
like,
doesn't understand it. She has like an instant migraine and falls to the
James
ground.
James Kennedy's face just goes like, hey.
Yeah. It's that shot of James jumping into the pool in season 2 when you like first see him and you're like, who's that lizard man? And like, and it's like Kristen sees all of this in like a rush and then feels, then she sees like Stassi rearing back to slap her in the face.
She sees Jack's bloody face.
Yeah. She sees Jack's like volcano dick.
Her cry is Krakatoa dick.
She sees the DVD menu of Drive and she's like, what?
She sees Tom Schwartz triplet brothers really fast and she's like, oh god, no, what the fuck. She sees a shot of Stassi with the bullet hole painted on her face from her birthday party
going, it's my birthday.
Yeah. She sees Katie falling through the skylight.
Yeah. She sees Randall.
Yeah.
Getting Kybella. She's like, what is that? She sees like a vagina up close and she's like, cool. And then she looks up and it's Brittany. She's like, fine, I'll work here. Whatever.
Sounds good.
Signs. And then years go by. Kristen's basically an indentured servant to Lisa.
She makes like $1 an hour.
Yeah. And Lisa and like Lisa, won't pay
Lisa
her.
Lisa like dangles it over her. She pulls out like a stocking with pennies in it.
She's like, Kristen, she I put paycheck. Your whole paycheck in a stocking just
Coffee
like
Kristen.
You like it. Coffee Kristen. She's like torturing her because Lisa's just mad that she was a lesbian once and taking it out on poor Kristen. But then Lisa gets famous on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills
And when she hears that Lisa is going to start a spinoff called Vanderpump Rules, Kristen comes knocking. On her office door, she goes upstairs to that weird office above Sir.
Well, she doesn't knock on it.
She kicks open the door.
And she walks in and goes, "Can I have a cigarette?" And Lisa goes, "Take it."
Mm-hmm.
She lights up a cig.
The cigarette out of her own mouth and just gives it to Kristen.
She goes, "You're here for something, aren't you, witch?
What is it you want now?"
And Kristen said, "I want in." And she goes, "In on what?" And she goes, "You know what I'm talking about." Because Lisa hadn't proposed the spinoff yet, but no. Kristen saw it and she knew it
Kristen
was coming.
Kristen saw it. She put it all together, like, finally. Because her clairvoyance, like, she ran from it over the years, but it really came back when she got to West Hollywood.
Right. As it does with everyone, yeah. Right?
And Kristen said, "I know you're going to do a fucking show, and I want to be on the show. I want in."
And Lisa said, "No."
"That's laughable.
I don't let witches on my shows.
I don't cast witches."
"You cast spells, I don't cast you."
Yeah.
And Kristen goes, "Well,
guess what?" And then she just grabs Lisa's face and looks in. As soon as she touches it, she sees all of Lisa and Ken's sordid past flashing before her eyes.
All the fires.
So many fires. Arms dealing, drug dealing, a few murders.
Kidnapping.
An explosion.
Just a random explosion.
Yeah, just an explosion. Kidnapping. And a helicopter. And she says, "I see it all. And
I know
everything
it all.
You've done. And guess what? You can go to the government, but I'll go to the FBI.
And then she said, "Suck a dick."
And she said, "Suck a dick. Let me on this show." And then Lisa said, "Well, seems as though I have no choice. I'm on a real 69 right now."
And then they started 69ing.
Yeah. And then they fucked one last time because it was really hot. Like, yeah. I'm turned on right now thinking of them, like, negotiating the terms of their deal. But then Kristen, so she got on the show. So they mutually blackmailed each other into where we are now.
But all along, Lisa knew she would demote her.
Yeah. And that's why you see Lisa hates Kristen so much, is because she's worked for her for so long, but they have this relationship where they're always holding each other hostage.
Because they were lovers in the 70s.
Yeah. And Lisa abandoned Kristen, but she's always really loved her the most. She's the only person that's ever made Lisa squirt.
And to this day.
To this day. So.
Anyway.
That's.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. Thank you, Carrie, for being on this journey with me.
Thank you for having me on this journey.
Yeah, give it up for Carrie. Give it up for Dee Dee, our DJ. Give it up
House
for
DJ.
Maddie, who did the slide. Give it up for resident downtown LA for
our
providing
photographer.
This space. Our photographer, Spencer, every one of you who came, you're all fucking geniuses. And
give it up for Kristen Doughty, most of all.
Give it up for Kristen Doughty. Yes.
And give it up for Loretta.
Give it up for Loretta and Loretta's
grandmother.
The one
who started it all.
Give it up for the Dust Bowl. Give it up for John Steinbeck.
Give it up for Woodrow. Okay, I'm going to stop.
For Theodore Roosevelt.
For Herbert Hoover.
Give it up for him making the deal. The New Deal. Give it up for the New Deal. Give it up for the stock market. Give it up for Adam and Eve. All right, that's it.
The lights go out.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling.
Hold up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.